Welcome to the Giants Talk Podcast. Here's Alex Pavlovich and Cole Kuiper. I know those guys.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Giants Talk. I'm Cole Kuiper here with Giants insider Alex Pavlovich. Spring training is in full swing, and we're ready to talk about it. Plus, later on this episode, Alex was able to sit down with the other Alex, Alex Cobb. You guys can decide in your head as you listen who your favorite Alex is, but I know mine.
Alex Wood, Scott Alexander.
We got too many. We got to whittle down our Alexes.
No, we're taking over.
We are. Let's poke our head around Scottsdale real quick. I had one thing I wanted to talk about. I was excited to see that Logan Webb, notable for hitting the final pitchers in the National League hitting home run in Major League Baseball history, got a square up against Shohei Ohtani the other day on Monday. I guess the Trout Ohtani double-headed dragon.
Recruiting there. You know, Logan's kind of like their head recruiter going forward. He was with Crawford at the Aaron Judge dinner at Oracle Park, and yeah, I would imagine he'll be their head recruiter for a while. So better than striking him out this time of year. You can remind him of that in 6 or 7 months, like, hey, helped you out, threw you a pitch you could hit.
So both Trout and Ohtani hit singles to the outfield, but Logan Webb got out of the inning there and didn't bring them home. So I think that's the best case scenario there. You get, you know, to cozy up to Shohei a little, do something nice for him, and then no damage.
Yeah, I mean, spring training game, and we'll see them. We'll see him in August. So it'll be, who knows if Ohtani will be there in August, but
very true.
That'll be more interesting when the Giants go down there, I think the second week of August.
Yes, I think that sounds right. But there's much more interesting things than that going on in Scottsdale. One thing I think is getting pretty cool is the catcher battle is really heating up. I mean, I think you and I have already put all our chips in on the front runner, Joey Bart, definitely taking the prime spot there. But the Giants catcher seems to be showing off more than any other position on the team. Joey Bart's first two spring games, just killing it. Plus, today, we're filming this Wednesday night, Auerbach, Wins, and Cibal all home runs.
Yeah, it's been a good week for their catchers. And I mentioned, I think last week or the week before, I thought Austin Wins has had just a really nice camp from the beginning. Blake Sable, that's two homers for him now and two to dead center. And he becomes more interesting. I still think Joey Bart is easily the front runner here, and it's probably Bart and Perez. But yeah, it's good when that's the case. It's good to see Joey with three extra base hits in the first two games. He backpicked somebody at second base. You could pick a side on whether you feel like challenging him or not is necessary. I kind of go like, this is a franchise that has run some real randos out there the last 2-3 years to give him a shot. Like, I feel like we've seen some guys get a lot of playing time for this team to try to break through. And here's your former number two pick and a guy who caught for you most of last year. And granted, it didn't always go well, but I don't know that he needs to be pushed, but they have, and he's responded. So it's better than the alternative. And I don't know what's going to happen with Sable just because he's a Rule 5 pick, but he's showing that the bat plays, which is, you know, we'll get to Austin Slater in a bit. Like, there could be other implications here for him.
I would like to point out that Sable is leading spring training catchers in home runs with two, unless someone hit one in the last 90 minutes since I looked that stat up.
I mean, might win the, Barney Nugent Award or whatever. It's better than, again, good start for him. And I think, you know, somebody who's trying to win a catching job right now, but becomes interesting if they need help elsewhere.
One thing I know Giants fans are going to need a little help talking off the ledge about is Kyle Harrison's spring debut. Do you want to go over that with me?
Yeah, I mean, I think my answer to all of these will be somewhat similar, and we have to talk about spring training and what's going on. But for the most part, I just... what happens, like, don't go too crazy, don't like climb onto the ledge. I think for Kyle, you know, good first taste. And look, I think there were nerves for him in his live batting practice session too. So get all of this out of the way. We saw the stuff, you know, we saw 96 miles per hour to end the inning, which is a good thing. And I don't think it's a problem actually at all if he struggles in spring training. Like he didn't struggle at all last year. Nobody challenged him. So, you know, if he's challenged a little bit this month and he's challenged a little bit in April in AAA, I don't think it's a problem at all. And as long as the stuff is good and he's working on throwing strikes, that's I think he's moving in the right direction. But he's not going to make the team anyway. I just think it's a good opportunity for him to get his feet wet and face some better hitters than guys that he has faced.
You're really going to hit me with the old Pavlovich. These things tend to work themselves out again.
Oh, I don't even think this is that these things tend to work themselves out. This is
no, just like in terms of spring training doesn't really matter. Don't worry too much about it.
I just don't want anybody looking at the box score and being like, oh no, Kyle Harrison gave up.
I mean, that was definitely me. That was me. You looked at two runs. I looked at that and I was like, oh no. But went deeper in with a lot of soft contact. He was pitching hard.
Yeah, whatever. I think there was a play behind him that should have been made on the infield.
The San Francisco Giants?
Yeah.
You don't say.
Shocker. I think for me, like it's you see the 96 and you go, all right. You're in pretty good shape here on March 1st. That's what we're here for. I actually weirdly don't think it's a problem if he struggles this spring a little bit because it's a good reminder of things to work on. And from what I'm not down there in Scottsdale today, I just watched highlights and talked to people who are down there. But, you know, it is just a reminder for him that, and it sounded like there was some of like pitches that guys are going to swing through at AA, they're not going to swing through even in a spring game. So yeah, it's going to be like that in AAA and it's going to be like that whenever he debuts. And it was a lesson that Logan had to learn when he got called up and a lesson every young pitcher has to learn. So I actually think they're probably like pretty okay with this.
While we're talking starting pitchers, it'd be remiss if we didn't discuss Alex Cobb's hot takes about the pitch clock. Didn't quite agree with you and I and a lot of the reaction there has been to the pitch clock. I'm going to read this quote from Danny Emmerman's chat with him. Didn't feel like baseball. Didn't feel like pitching. I'm used to throwing a pitch, going through the information at hand, and there's just no time for that. I'm sure it'll slow down. Everyone says it will, but I really just felt like I was throwing, not much else going on in my mind. I mean, didn't feel like baseball is a harsh criticism.
So it's funny with Cobb because Laura and I talked to him. It's coming up at the end of this episode. I love talking to Alex, not just because his name is Alex. I think he's a really good and interesting interview and interesting thinker of the game. And when we talked to him last week, he was fired up about PitchCom and he used it in his live BP. He was more fired up than anybody in the clubhouse. Like other guys were like, might do a hybrid, might not do it at all. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. I want to call my own games. And it looked like it went fine during a live BP, but it's different when you get out there, you have the actual pitch clock, you have an umpire, not just the flat screen TV next to you. You know, when you're throwing a live BP, which is what they've been doing. So seemed like it sped up on him a little bit. I do think guys for a while might just do a hybrid, even the guys who want to call their own pitches, except for Max Scherzer, who's out there like, this is great, and he's ready to go because he's a psychopath.
He's insane.
He's just an insane person. He probably somehow knew this was coming and had a PitchCom device all winter and was just punching into it. But I do think Alex will get comfortable with it. I mean, he has a month until his first start and has time to work out the kinks, but there's going to be some things like there's a lot that's thrown at them. And if you want to call your own game, you have to do that while worrying about a pitch clock for the first time, while worrying about disengagements, how many times you can throw over to first, all of that. It's just a lot for a guy. And I think that's some of the frustration we saw from him earlier this week.
Yeah, they really rolled out a lot on these guys. I kind of forgot about the calling your own game via PitchCom in tandem with everything else. It's just trial by fire.
Yeah.
You'd think they would have staggered all that, get used to one, and then we toss the other one in. But no, let's just do it.
Yeah, I almost wish they would have like waited a year on the bases or something. So you were like, hey, this year we have new bases. Now nobody's going to care at all.
It's just going to be an anomaly. Hey, stolen bases are much higher from here on out.
Yeah.
I think maybe it has to do with the pitch clock.
The theory is PitchCom will make it faster as well. Because if you are in the right rhythm, you know, you throw a pitch, you're waiting for the ball to get back, you can reach down and just get going. Like it's again, part of pace of play. I wonder, like, we've gone so far, and again, 100% on board with it. I do wonder if once the regular season comes, if people will either back off on pitchcom a little bit and calling their own pitches, or if MLB at some point, you and I have talked about, like, seventh, eighth inning, do you change the rules a little bit? Do you have a little bit more time? Yeah. Right now, it's like full speed ahead.
Add 1/2 second every inning.
That would be interesting.
You just stretch it out a little by a little, including extra innings. We could get some really long at-bats in extras.
You could almost add a full second every inning, and like it wouldn't be a problem.
I think that's the move. How about 1/2 second every half inning? It's a little bit of an advantage for the...
Have a pitch clock with 16 and a half seconds on it. Like, it's...
All right, fair.
It's
fair.
But yeah, it's... You could almost... That might be a little too gimmicky. Like, how many... I have 19 seconds now.
What am I at right now? All right. We have to noodle on that one more. It's kind of half six
yesterday. Today it's the eighth. Like, what?
Yeah. All right.
I don't hate it, though. I don't hate it.
It sounded better in my head than once we discussed it out loud. All right. Well, I'm excited. Did you talk to Cobb about any of this or?
Yeah, we talked about PitchCom. And I, you know, one thing I asked him was like, a lot has changed. And you're one of the older guys on the team. Like, how do you feel about this? And I thought he gave a good answer. So, that is coming up again. Somebody, you know, I've talked to him about this. I really wish sometimes we could have pitchers on the post game show because I'd love to hear their answers after a good game. It's just hard because they go in and start icing and all of that. So whoever hits a home run and is part of that handshake line gets to put the headset on. But he's one of those guys.
Drag him out with the ice pack taped to their body. I want to see
him, Logan, Alex Wood. Like, those are Ross Stripling's unbelievable. An unbelievable talker. So those are the guys I would love, but we do get him post game.
Yeah, you get him when you can. All right, a couple injury updates the Giants have that I think are worth discussing before we poke around the rest of the league. Marco Luciano once again taking batting practice. That's a good sign. His back's been bothering him. What do you think? Have you heard anything of expectations?
I don't think he will play this spring. That's kind of the latest I've heard. But I, you know, the more he can do this spring, and if he can get ready if he can be ready when the double A season starts or shortly thereafter, that's, you know, that's fine. He still has an opportunity to get a full season in and hit his way up another level and put himself in position. So it's good news he's doing all of this. It'd be great to see him in spring games. I feel like he's not going to have time at this point.
Yeah. All right. Cole Waits, Giants pitcher with a far superior first name, starting a throwing progression. What does that mean here? What are we expecting out of Cole Waits?
Yeah, throwing progression. It's funny when you hear that. It's like, this is good news. It is very, like, those progressions take a long time. So especially someone who throws hard like him and a young pitcher like him, they're going to be extremely careful here. But I think he's on track to be ready about a week into the season, maybe 2 weeks, Yeah, again, like, you know, they can figure it out. And I think the bummer for him, again, is I think he would have made the opening day roster. So that sucks. But young guy.
And then maybe one of the most startling and unideal, Austin Slater, elbow. He is shut down for a week. This is the kind of thing that worries me. Elbow injuries, arm injuries, shoulders, the joint injuries worry me. Like, what happens if this sticks around and he's not on the opening day roster?
Yeah, two things here. I mean, one, you know, you made fun of me for calming everything down on Harrison. And this one, I do think you go like a little bit like, I don't care if it's spring training. This is a guy who's had elbow issues in the past, like multiple times. So not something you want to hear in March. Now, Brett Auerbach was supposed to miss all of camp because he had elbow neuritis as well. And he hit a home run today. He just showed up and hit a 2-run homer right away. So it can be not too big a deal, but for Slater, who has dealt with this in the past, not ideal. And then again, just the way this roster is built, like, they're kind of counting on him to platoon with Yaz in center field and be an option against left-handed pitchers. So they could use him. Like, there's not too much behind him in that respect. Steven Piscotty, potentially. Elliot Ramos is still there, but they really do not want to call him up early in the year. They want him to get his feet wet. in AAA and really hit his way back up. So it'll be interesting if he's not ready at the start of the year. Now it's March 1st. He has almost a full month to get back. He is sneakily the second longest tenure Giant. Like, he is experienced at this point. He doesn't need to play in 15 spring games, but it could open up some different kind of roster math, because you do have a Rule 5 pick here who can play the outfield. So
yeah,
who does have two home runs. So some other things could come into play, but right now on March 1st, they're not too worried. If this goes 2-3 weeks, you might start looking at some different math there.
That's what I've got for Giants injury updates. And I think we do have to talk some other NL West injuries. I don't know if you saw the video of Gavin Lux's leg blowout. That was brutal. I feel really bad. I know Giants fans don't want to hear too much praise for the Dodgers, but I felt like this was the year Gavin Lux was going to kind of blow up, be an all-star maybe even, and just rough turn of events for Gavin Lux.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of those, like, if you watch enough football, you watch that one and go, ugh, I kind of know
what, I know what that is.
Yeah. Yep. And it was a torn ACL.
It's such a fluke too. Like, kind of ducking out. Just such a fluke. Just ducking out of the way of a ball. Not even charging in hard or cutting in a weird way.
I don't ever want anybody to get hurt. And especially a young player who really had his best opportunity. Was at one point like a top two or three prospect in all of baseball. And they were basically like, Trey Turner's gone. Shortstop is yours. So that's a bummer. And we'll get to our season predictions in a couple weeks and start talking about all that. But like, there's some like holes there that haven't been there in a while in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, if you're San Diego, you're salivating, except for the fact that Joe Musgrove broke one of his toes playing with kettlebells in the weight room. I guess playing with isn't the right word. Lifting, working out with kettlebells. So safety first out there when you're lifting, boys.
This is why you and I don't lift weights. So no, I do, but not kettlebells. That one sucks too. And I don't know if he was going to be their opening day starter, but pretty good bet probably. So
yeah. Yeah. You know,
for as much as I see it on Twitter, every time we give an injury update, people are like, oh my God, Gonzalez is hurt and Slater and Yaz has been out the last couple of days. Could be a lot worse. So
yeah. I don't think the Slater comp shut down for a week even compares to losing Gavin Lux for the year and Joe Musgrove for month, two, three, who knows?
I mean, that is the thing about this month, is you get excited and you get your work in and you just pray that you show up on March 30th and haven't lost anybody. Yep. So remember that year when like the last time Bumgarner went out there in spring training, he got hit by the line drive and it's just like literally probably had like 30 pitches to go until his starting on opening day.
I do. Rough memories. Are we trying to remember Madison Bumgarner? Is that what you're throwing me into here?
We could remember Ty Block, who started on opening day because Bum got hurt. But
that's right. What a come up for Ty Block. And he won that game too, right? Wasn't that a sneaky win against the Dodgers?
He pitched well. I think he went up.
I think he stole a game from the Dodgers. And that's got to be one of the highlights of Ty Block's career.
That and the home run to dead center. We're up there.
Well, the Giants faced off against the D-backs on Wednesday today as we're filming. And they got to see Evan Longoria for the first time in a few months. It's been a long, long, long time. No, I'm kidding. Longo went 0-for-2, so he's, not hammering his old pitchers that hard. I would love to have a pitcher on. Maybe we'll talk to George Contos about this eventually. About what it's like to throw to a former teammate of yours, if it's harder, who has the advantage there?
Oh, we will talk to George Contos because he hit Brandon Crawford the first time he faced him. And it's one of his closest friends in baseball. And he like grazed his shoe or something like that. But still Crawford was not thrilled.
Yeah, so, no, yeah, we'll, I don't blame him.
Put that on the list to ask George about.
Yeah. Push that one aside for later this season. Over in New York, the Mets signed Jalen Davis to a minor league deal with a camp invite. Good for him. Still in the league. Yeah. Love to see former Giants thrive.
Very nice guy.
Very, very nice guy. I interviewed him for I don't remember if it was Summer Sundays or what, back in the day, but he was just incredibly kind.
Yeah, well, you know, there's some guys that you're like, you're way too nice to just be a professional athlete. No offense to the other ones, but just like,
do you know you don't have to be this nice?
Yeah, you do not have to do an interview with Cole Kuiper. Definitely not.
Don't debase yourself like that.
Yeah, but I did, you know, to prepare for remembering some guys, which we'll do every Thursday this spring, I did go through the spring training media guide and pull out, you know, we'll do the NL East today in honor of Jalen Davis. The Braves are like an all-time remembering some guys team right here. We have A-Ray Adrianza, so everybody knows, has been there for a while. Kevin Pillar is in Braves camp.
Pillar
is, you know, one, good for him because he got hurt with the Dodgers and worked his way back.
Oh, that was a rough story. Finally gets playing for his like childhood favorite team and gets hurt in the first or second game.
Yeah. And then Yolmer Sanchez, forever Giant.
Wow. Yolmi.
I couldn't tell you probably within 3 years of when he played for the Giants, but I know he was in camp 1 year.
Braves like to put together a good former Giant roster. That's a market inefficiency of theirs. But they're like, you know, we don't have, if we need a guy, let's see if there's any former Giants out there.
They really do. Two other ones in the NL East of note, the Marlins, obviously they have Johnny Cueto, but he doesn't count as remembering some guys. Like, he is the guy.
He's the big guy. Yeah.
DJ Hinojosa, who was in Giants camp a couple times in their minor league system, at some point, I think was one of their, you know, back when the farm system was not very good, was like one of their more interesting guys. And then Lucius Fox, still in Washington. So Giants gave him $6 million or so. And he's...
I'm going to be honest. Everyone's talking about Prelander, Baroa. I'm still worried Lucius Fox is going to be the one that got away. I had a lot of eggs in the Lucius Fox basket.
You know, I think if it's on, like, I believe he's on his third team since the Giants traded him.
So I don't have a ton to worry about.
Yeah, I think at that point you just go, you know, whatever. Like, it's, if you're the Orioles and you trade Mike Yastrzemski to the Giants after years of him, or he ends up with the Giants after years of him kind of toiling away in your farm system, like, that looks bad. If you directly trade, like, one for one, and the other one becomes whatever Prelander Baroa will become, that can hurt. If a guy's just been like around and now he's like in camp with the worst team in baseball.
Yeah. All right. Root
for him at this point.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. I root for this guy. That's it. When I follow the box score, that is a name that stands out to me in bold.
Plus, didn't he throw up on the field last year? So I root for him to have better moments.
If we're going to talk about guys who we irrationally root for, there's one more guy I want to mention. Say Suzuki is hurt in Chicago, and we're only a week or so into spring training, but it looks like Mike Tauchman might be playing well enough to fill that spot. Well, Suzuki gets well. Okay. Mike Tauchman in the big leagues would be awesome. The Giants don't play the Cubs early on, do they?
No, September.
Okay, that's a bummer.
At least that's a trip to Chicago. I don't know when they come to Oracle, but I can tell you exactly when we're in all the best cities. So,
like, you know more than anyone.
Yeah. New York, Chicago at the beginning of the year, Mexico City in April, New York, Toronto in June. Yeah. So it's, but that'd be cool if you made the team.
No Cubs for the first month or two. So unfortunately, no Tauchman reunion there, but another guy just irrationally always will cheer for. That catch, that other catch, that grand slam, that's all I needed.
I like, this reminds me of when I used to do power rankings, and the only way I could, like, I would write out the power rankings, and the only way I could really make it entertaining for myself was to remember guys on every team and be like, hey, you know, Steven Okert's now in Miami and he's doing this. And one time, like, a very high ranking Giants official was like, are you just going to list the same guys week after week and just like update their stats? And I'm like, yeah, I don't really know any other way to do power rankings. So trying to make it interesting, but yeah, now we're just doing it here. I hope people enjoy
it. Yeah. Little did that high ranking Giants official know that is what the people want. They want to remember some guys.
I should have just turned power rankings into remembering some guys, but
you still have time. You still have time. Let's toss to you and Laura sitting down with Alex Cobb. I want to hear from Alex. I have not met Alex, talked to Alex, interviewed Alex. He's a lucky man in that regard, but you have talked him up quite a bit.
So it's interesting. There are some guys on this team who, because of, I think, the pandemic and because of limited access and things like that, like who have, and I think Wilmer last year was a little bit like this. Like Giants fans were like, Wilmer's been here a long time and we really like him, but it's just nobody's really gotten to know him that much because he's, you know, he played a lot of his games without fans. And Alex Cobb has played, not in that situation necessarily, but just hasn't been as normal. Like, you know, we're back in the clubhouse without masks on. Like, it's, things are normal again. So
that's actually a really good way of putting it, because you think back to the guys who joined the team in 2019, Yastrzemski, even like Dickerson. And you don't feel like that about them at all.
Yeah, had a real opportunity to get to know all those guys. And this was the first time since the pandemic started that it's completely normal. Access is normal. We can do stuff like this where we can sit down, you know, in the Giants facility. Me and Laura can sit down and do 6 interviews in a row, which is what we used to do all the time.
You're over here saying things are normal as I just finally tested negative for COVID today.
Well, it's not totally normal, but in terms of interviews. So, I think guys like Alex Cobb and who else would be good examples. Alex Wood is probably a good example of somebody who Giants.
I think Wilmer is one of the strongest examples because he's been just a horse out there in the infield. He won. He's been great. But Giants fans don't know him that well beyond the whole friends thing that's been beaten into the ground.
He's just played a lot of his career at times, his career with the Giants at times when you don't get to have as much fun. So, hopefully it changes this year, and I hope people enjoy Alex Cobb.
Our spring training coverage continues with Alex Cobb joining us. You know, the depth of the rotation is something that the Giants put a focus on this offseason, adding some more pieces. You've talked about the depth of this starting rotation. From what you've seen so far, how's everything shaping up with you guys?
Yeah, it's just a good problem to have when you look around. You're like, where are we going to get all the innings for everybody? And you wonder what kind of role certain guys are going to play in. And, I feel like it was one of the things that we were missing last year. And Farhan in the front office noticed that and took really good action on it. And now we have an opposite problem with too many arms. So it should be fun to watch throughout camp, see how all that plays out.
I asked you early in camp, I was like, did you realize you guys led the majors in FIP last year? And you were like, yeah, we were good. Is that the goal again this year? Just kind of lead the way?
Yeah, to be good.
That's a great goal. Everyone is just really good.
It is like, really good.
We did a lot right than just,
Go away. This organization's always known how to, maximize potential out of their pitchers. One of the reasons I wanted to come here, watching them work with the new guys that have come in, getting that type of information last year and having it help propel me up to another level. I felt it's fun to see them tap into all the other guys that we got. So we're walking around with confidence. I mean, I think that our starting rotation got better. Our bullpen got better. And you're going to see a lot of guys that are going to build off of last year. I mean, I don't know how much better Logan can get, but he's walking around with more confidence.
He said he wasn't very good last year.
It's hilarious. Yeah, it's hilarious. But I love that attitude out of him. I think that's why he's going to be elite for a long time. He's always critiquing everything he does, almost to a fault, but he's just always looking to get better.
You're very passionate about calling your own games this season, with PitchCom now available to pitchers to be able to call the pitches that you want. Have you been able to test it out yet?
Yeah. I've had 2 live APs with it. I've worked a couple bullpens with it. It's just awkward right now. I've always known in my mind what pitch I want to throw, but I've never had to put that thought into action other than just shaking and getting to that pitch. So now, you know, it's kind of similar to, you know, like it's easy to have thoughts in your mind. Once you go to try to write them down, it becomes a little bit more difficult for some people, but I'm in that that stage right now where it's just not second nature, but I hope it will be soon. I'm still fluid with it, whether I want to go all in on it, whether I want to do a hybrid of, you know, nobody on, let the catcher call the game. And, you know, so the clock's going to dictate a lot of what I decide to do on that.
How's it been with the catchers with that? I mean, figuring it out, obviously, but how have they been adjusting to you?
Us calling?
Yeah.
Great. Very supportive of it. You know, with some of the younger guys like Sable, Winnie, even Joey, I think it helps them get their mind off of pitch calling and really can focus on some other things that are important. Pitch framing, the base runner, the running game is going to be hectic this year, we anticipate. So, you know, they can kind of shift their focus to that. I always tell them if they feel adamant about a pitch, shake me off. And they still have the ability to call pitches. So shake me off and go to a pitch and I'll listen to it and we'll go that way. But for the most part, let's just try to let me get into a flow and get the pace going.
You know, every time there's a change like that, there's a lot of people who go like, I'm a traditionalist. I don't want to see devices on the catcher, devices on the pitcher. What would you say to that?
I mean, personally, I've had to squash that a long time ago. I was playing before instant replay, you know, and back in 11 and 12, and had to get used to all sorts of changes that have come around. And I think that as a competitor, you can either mope and be upset about it and complain about it, or you try to find ways to use it to your advantage. The rules are going to be what they're going to be. We don't have any say in that. So when I heard that this was going to be the case and the pitch clock and the ability to call our pitches, then I embrace it and try to figure out a way that I can benefit from it and make the team benefit from it. So I'll probably, I complain a lot on the side, you know, with my wife and friends and stuff.
Tell her afterwards.
Yeah.
Well, one thing we hope you're not complaining about is the new shift rules. And it's interesting for somebody like you because you are a ground ball pitcher. So you do lose that ability to have the shift. At the same time, I'm sure there's been a ton of times in your career where you've gotten a ground ball to a spot where you thought the shortstop was going to be and he's 20 feet over. So how do you adjust to that and what do you think that's going to mean for you?
When I first came up and the shift started getting implemented, my GM at the time said, don't change a thing. So keep pitching the way you're pitching and let us adjust to what's going on. And so I'm going to do the same thing with this. I'm not going to adjust so much to what the defense is doing behind me. I'm going to keep attacking hitters the way I want to attack them, get to two strikes, try to punch a guy out, eliminate that defense of placement. And, you know, that is a team effort with me and Kai in the front office of as the season goes on, making those types of adjustments. But right now, we're just going to have to see how it plays out early on. Fortunately, we have a full spring and we can get a lot of reps out there with trying different things. But hopefully it won't change too much.
One of the rule changes that directly impacts you is the pitch clock. How have you been adjusting to that?
What's funny about all of this is it seems like so much. And then you talk to people that have been through it. A lot of the guys in our camp right now were in AAA last year. Talked to a lot of minor leaguers about it, a lot of coaches that were in the minor leagues, and they said every time you talk about a certain thing, they say it's not that big of a deal. It doesn't change much.
You don't feel the pressure?
I do right now. Yeah, they say.
Can you see the clock down? It's like one of my producers counting down in my ear.
Panicking, yeah. It feels like somebody's breathing down your neck on the mound, and everybody says that's normal for the first couple weeks, month, and then it became like second nature. Today I threw my second live BP. It didn't affect me near as much as it did the first one. So I can see how that's going to kind of play itself out. And I'm all for a quicker pace. I would love to get home and see my family before bed, you know, which I'm sure most people would.
So, yeah. You mentioned all the changes since you started playing. And one of them is just kind of the way we view catchers. It's no longer automatically wins and ERA. Innings and things like that. And you, like, your advanced metrics always outpaced the traditional ones. Your FIP was much lower than your ERA the last two seasons. Are you able to embrace that as well? Or is it hard to be like, I know I'm pitching well, but I woke up at the scoreboard and maybe the numbers aren't what I what I want. Right? And you mentioned earlier in camp, like, what do you want this year? And you're like, to win more games, mm-hmm. which is the more traditional.
Yeah, I think it's easy to embrace when it paints you in a better light, you know. But I've had earlier in my career where I didn't outperform those numbers. I was a little more fortunate out there. So I think the biggest thing that it does is it tells you you're on the right path. You're doing the right things. Strikeouts are good. Home runs are bad. Weak contact's good. These are all things that we know. It was just when a fan or somebody comes up and tells you you're bad, you can, you know, set points them in a different direction. It doesn't go over well, but yeah, they don't really
good
care.
Try.
Yeah, this is a good try.
What, last spring, we didn't get to know you that well because of the lockout, mm-hmm. and fans didn't get to know you that well because of that. What are some of your hobbies and things you like to do in your off time?
I used to have some hobbies. I have two kids now, so I put golf clubs. Hobbies. Yeah, they like to. Right now, we just, you know, I get to golf every once in a while. I really enjoy that. It's in the off season, it allows me to exercise my mind similarly to the way I pitch. Try to repeat a delivery or mechanics and get really mad when you don't do it, and so it kind of fills that gap for me. But other than that, I love spending time. I got two girls right now that just are so much fun to see grow. Every time I come back from a road trip, I feel like they are different people. So I'm in that stage where I'm just enjoying that,
living your best life.
Yeah, it's great.
Look forward to seeing you.
Yeah.
This upcoming season. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.